Want to be mindful of the Lord, want to be sensitive. If you got something burning on your heart, you can by all means stand up and testify if you feel like the Lord wants you to do that. But I want to go to the book of Esther tonight, chapter number 8. Esther chapter number 8. And I want to look at verse number 7 is where we'll take up our reading. And I'm just going to take for granted tonight that you are familiar with this story. Of course, we'll say a couple things just to kind of cover the basis of the story as we're dealing with the introduction tonight. But I trust that you have read this, that you're at least familiar somewhat with the territory of where we are in our Bible tonight. And I'll be just as brief as I can, but just want to be mindful of the Lord tonight. Esther chapter number 8 and verse number 7. And I know that's one of those books sometimes that can kind of hide from you if the pages are sticking together. So I'll give you a moment to find it tonight. Esther chapter number 8 and verse number 7. And we'll go ahead and begin reading there at verse number 7. Esther chapter number 8 and verse number 7. The Bible says, "Then the king Ahasuerus said unto Esther the queen and to Mordecai the Jew, Behold, I have given Esther the house of Haman, and him they have hanged upon the gallows, because he laid his hand upon the Jews. Write ye also for the Jews as it liketh you in the king's name, and seal it with the king's ring, for the writing which is written the king's name, and sealed with the king's ring, may no man reverse." Then were the king's scribes called at that time in the third month, that is the month Sivan, on the 23rd day thereof. And it was written according to all that Mordecai commanded unto the Jews, and to the lieutenants and to the deputies, the rulers of the provinces which are from India unto Ethiopia, 127 provinces, unto every province according to the writing thereof, and unto every people after their language, and to the Jews according to their language, according to their writing and according to their language. And he wrote in the king Ahasuerus's name and sealed it with the king's ring, and sent letters by post on horseback and riders on mules, camels, and young dromedaries, wherein the king granted the Jews which were in every city to gather themselves together and to stand for their life, to destroy, to slay, and to cause to perish all the power of the people and province that would assault them, both little ones and women, and to take the spoil of them for a prey. Upon one day in all the provinces of the king Ahasuerus, namely upon the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month Adar, the copy of the writing for a commandment to be given in every province was published unto all people, and that the Jews should be ready against that day to avenge themselves on their enemies. And so the post that rode upon the mules and camels went out, being hastened and pressed on by the king's commandment, and the decree was given at Shushan the palace. And Mordecai went out from the presence of the king in royal apparel of blue and white, and with a great crown of gold, and with a garment of fine linen and purple. And the city of Shushan rejoiced and was glad. The Jews had light and gladness and joy and honor. And in every province and in every city, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, the Jews had joy and gladness, a feast and a good day. And many of the people of the land became Jews, for the fear of the Jews fell upon them. Let's pray together tonight. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you so much for allowing us, Lord, another time, God, to gather together, Lord, as a church, gather together with like-minded believers. Lord, gather together, Lord, around your word and in your name tonight. Lord, we thank you for that privilege. We thank you, Lord, God, that it truly is an honor. I know sometimes we take it for granted. I know sometimes it can seem very basic and cliche to us. But Lord, we are thankful, God, that we're part of a church tonight. Thankful that we know the living God. Thankful tonight that we know what it means to be passed from death unto life. And I pray, God, that you would take your word and you would remind us, Lord, of redemption tonight. I pray that you would remind us of salvation, remind us of your great deliverance and your great power, Lord, that's been manifested in our life. And Lord, understand, help us to understand tonight that we are eternal beneficiaries of what you've done. And Lord, I thank you for that tonight. And I pray that you'd speak to our hearts, Lord, that you would help us. God, that you'd encourage us tonight. And Lord, that you would draw us closer to yourself. We ask these things tonight in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Whenever we look at the book of Esther tonight, we can just say simply by way of introduction tonight that the book of Esther is a book of declaration. It is a book of declaration, and it declares to us, and as a matter of fact, if you read the end of the book, the very reason that it was written tonight was to show that the people of God had been given victory in a strange land. During this time here in the Word of God, this takes place somewhere between the books of Nehemiah and the book of Esther, and this is a time we know that the people of God had been led out by Babylonian captivity, and now through the course of time and through the course of prophecy and history, the leadership has changed hands, but the people of God are still outside of Jerusalem. They're still outside of the promised possession that God made for them, and they are indeed in a strange land tonight. Amen. And so it declares how God had delivered them. It is not only a book of declaration tonight, but can I say this, that the book of Esther is a book of deterrence. It deters some things tonight. You say, what do you mean by that? Listen, the reason that Haman was raised up against the Jews and hated the Jews is simply he was anti-Semitic, he was wicked, he was evil in his heart. And can I say this tonight, that this is not a new concept. This is not something that happened one time in the course of the world's history and went away. As a matter of fact, we can look at the media tonight and the foolish people on our college university campuses and the politically woke in our generation are standing behind the so-called nation of Palestine, standing behind the so-called people who are the possessors of that land. And I don't have to go here tonight, but I think I will. That land has always belonged to the Jews. It always will belong to the Jews. God, by way of covenant and by way of promise and by way of decree to Abraham, laid out the foundations of that land, laid out the parameters of that promise, and thank God, God will fulfill that to His people. Amen. And so it is a book of declaration. It is a book of deterrence, not to put your hand upon God's people and not to try to get involved in the promises of God to His people. It's also tonight a book of distinction. Now, this book of the Bible bears the name of a woman, only one of two, books in the Bible bear the name of a woman. Tonight we know that Esther, she was a Jewish girl that in fact was married to a Gentile. And then of course we know that Ruth was a Gentile lady or Gentile girl that was married to a Jewish man. Another note of distinction concerning the book of Esther is that the name of God is not found anywhere in this book. But that's no problem to us. That's no bother to the believer tonight, because we know and we understand that even though God's name is not mentioned in this book, the hand of God and the purposes of God and the move of God is interwoven all throughout the chapters, every verse of this book. And we can see that though God's name is not present, He is very much active in the affairs of His people tonight. Amen. It's a book of declaration. It's a book of deterrence. It is a book of distinction. But then may I say this, that this is a book of dedication. Even unto this day, there is a feast. If you pull it up, you're on your phone. It appears on mine. Maybe it does on yours. But somewhere in the springtime, there is a feast called Purim. And the people of God, the Jewish people, still celebrate that feast today. It is a commemorative feast. It is a commemorative holiday that shows how God raised up Mordecai and raised up Esther and delivered the people of God. Amen. Listen, that is what God is in the business of doing tonight. Amen. Thank God He is in the business of delivering people out of this world. The Apostle Paul, I believe it was, thank God he mentioned that we have been brought out of darkness into His marvelous light. Listen, I am not a Jew tonight. By the way, I'm not a spiritual Jew. Amen. But thank God I'm part of the bride of Christ. I'm part of the church of a living God. And even though though I may not be a Jew tonight, I know a little something about deliverance, amen. I know a little something about salvation. I know what it was like to be in the world and be in darkness, amen. It may not have been bad off as some others. Maybe you weren't off bad off as I was, but listen, we were all in a mess tonight, amen. We were all depraved. We were all on our way to hell, but thank God for the good, glad day that Jesus Christ showed up in our life, and He delivered us from sin, delivered us from the bondage of the world, set our feet upon a solid rock, as the psalmist said, established our goings, put a new song in our mouth, even praise unto our God tonight. Amen. Whenever we read the chapter before us, we're here towards the end of the book. We know and we understand that Haman has already been overthrown. His plan has already been foiled. As a matter of fact, he is there, and he is going to hang. Amen. They hanged him in verse number 10 of chapter number 7. So Haman's already been taken care of. Listen, the edict is going to be reversed, and thank God the people of God are going to experience victory tonight. Amen. And if there's one thing that we could say about the book of Esther, there's one theme that stands out to me tonight, and it is that the God will have the last word. Amen. It is God who will settle the score. It is God who will turn the tables tonight. Amen. And we can see that not only in the book of Esther, but we can see that theme all throughout the Word of God tonight. Amen. Listen, the people of God were in trouble. Amen. They were there in Egyptian bondage, and their cry of bondage came up to God. Amen. There was a Pharaoh that had rose up that knew not Joseph tonight. Amen. That Pharaoh feared the people of God. He thought that they would take over. And so what he did, he put them in bondage. Amen. Thank God. Listen, I'm telling you, there was a deliverer that was raised up by the name of Moses. Amen. Grew up in Pharaoh's household. Thank God, chose to bear the reproach of Christ and not the comforts of the world. And God used that man to deliver the people of God. Amen. Thank God over 2,000 years ago, this world was in bondage and in sin tonight. And thank God the Son of God, amen. Thank God He stepped out of the portals of glory. He put on a robe of flesh. He was willing to go all the way to Calvary tonight to bear the sin and the reproach and the judgment of this old world. Thank God, God delivered again. Hey, there's coming a day and an hour after the church is gone, after we're raptured out of here. Listen, the Antichrist and his armies are going to trail the people of God. They'll feel like they've been forsaken. They'll feel cornered on every side in that city of Petra there in Jordan. And thank God, Revelation 19 tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ and the saints, that's you and me, He's coming back on a white horse, victorious, hallelujah. And out of His mouth is going to proceed a sharp, a two-edged sword, which is the Word of God. He's going to destroy Antichrist and his armies. The people of God will look upon Him who they pierced. The Bible said that He shall be their God, and they shall be His people. I'm just trying to tell you that the God that hath delivered will deliver. And thank God, that's what He's good at tonight. Amen. Is delivering those that are His own. Amen. God, one of these days, is going to settle the score. Amen. How did God go about doing this? Number one, I see concerning the people of God and their record tonight. Amen. And concerning God's deliverance in their lives, their record was exonerated tonight. Amen. Number one, their record was exonerated. Look what the Bible says in verse number 8 of chapter number 8. He said, "Write ye also for the Jews, as it liketh you, in the king's name, and seal it with the king's ring, for the writing which is written in the king's name and sealed with the king's ring may no man reverse." Now, you know the story tonight. It was Haman that had convinced King Ahasuerus to write a writing against the people of God, which would condemn them unto death tonight. Amen. In Persian culture tonight, there was an edict. If it was written and sealed by the king's ring and sealed in the king's name tonight, in Persian culture, you could not go back and reverse a law. Once it was said and once it was established in Persian culture, that was it. There wasn't anything that you could do about it. You couldn't go back and change it. And so the king had to be very careful about what he put in writing, what he put his seal to, because listen to me tonight, once that was done and once that was done and over with, there was no going back. Amen. You could not erase it. You could not do away with it. Amen. There was just one loophole concerning that, and we'll get to that here in just a few moments. Amen. But this record was against the people of God. There was a law that condemned them tonight. Amen. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Listen, there is a book tonight that condemns us. The law of God. Paul said that it was our schoolmaster tonight, bringing us to Christ. What did it do for us? Number one, it showed us that God was holy and we're not tonight. Amen. It showed us that God was lofty and high and righteous and we were not tonight. Amen. And it's a real good picture of that tabernacle and that temple tonight. The reason that there was a veil separating that holy of holies from that outer court and that holy place tonight is because man did not have access to God. There was a law that was keeping him out. There was a law that condemned him. There was a law that made him an enemy and alienated him from God tonight, and we could not go in. Hallelujah. But I'm telling you, thank God that there was a priest. Amen. He could go in on the basis of one thing and one thing alone, and that was the sacrifice tonight. Amen. Back to the book of Esther tonight. Thank God there was only one thing that could do away with what had already been done. You couldn't erase it. You couldn't take it back. But if you would make a new edict and a new law, a stronger law that could override that other law. Amen. And that's exactly what happened in the book of Esther. The king was convinced. He knew Haman was working behind his back. He woke up one night in a dream and he read the word of God. He read the Chronicles tonight and he found out Haman was plotting against him. And thank God, listen, he changed the writing. He changed the law. He changed the ordinance with a new one tonight. Thank God. Listen, he didn't do away with the old one, but he made a new one tonight. Amen. Listen, I'm telling you, God, when he sent Christ to the cross, he didn't do away with this law tonight. This law shows us that we're guilty before God. This law shows us tonight that God is holy and we are not tonight. Amen. But thank God there's a new covenant. Thank God it's written in blood tonight. Amen. By the Lord Jesus Christ, his sacrifice and his payment tonight. And thank God no longer does it spell death for the child of God. No longer are we condemned. Oh, but thank God we've been quickened and we've been made alive and we've been set free tonight. And the old record, thank God, it was overshadowed by the new tonight. Amen. God used this individual by the name of Mordecai tonight. Amen. I think about Mordecai's authority. The Bible said, write ye also for the Jews as it liketh you. Amen. In the king's name. Listen, everything that Mordecai was doing, everything that Esther was doing tonight, it was just like the king himself did it. Amen. Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary. You know who that was who hung on the cross? You know who that was that bore the sins of the world? You know who it was who suffered and bled and died? You know who it was who those Roman soldiers drove those nails in his hands and drove those in his feet and pierced the side of that body? You know who that was tonight? That was God himself. Thank God what we could not do for ourselves. Thank God he put on a robe of flesh. He came to where we were. He bore our sin. He became the curse for us. He was separated from God for us. And he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You say, what was he doing? He was writing a new law, not on stony tables, but on the fleshly tables of our heart. He did that to make us a new man. He did that to make us right with God. He took the hand of God and took the hand of man and joined it together. And that veil we talked about, that
that kept us out of the presence of God. Our great high priest was there, and it was rent in twain from top to bottom, giving man access to God forevermore.
That old record was done away with. Thank God the old account was settled long ago. We see Mordecai's authority. Then we see Mordecai's association. The Bible says in verse number 10, and he wrote in the king Ahasuerus' name. Amen. And he sealed it with the king's ring. That king's ring was a signet tonight. Amen. And we're familiar with the word of God in the story of the prodigal son, how that prodigal came home and the father fixed him up and decked him with all of his possessions. And he put a ring on his hand, amen. That ring was his. That signified the household. That signified the signature of the father. And when that's the father tonight, amen. Oh, thank God tonight, because we've been placed in Christ, and Christ is in God. We are right with the Father, and we are forever unified and forever associated with God Almighty tonight. Paul said in Romans chapter number 5 and verse number 1, he said, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank God he is in God and we are in him. Amen. And thank God you know this tonight. I'm not telling you anything you don't know, but thank God when God sees the Son, thank God he doesn't see our tattered record. He doesn't see our checkered past. Oh, but thank God he sees us in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Amen. The Bible says in verse number 11, we see Mordecai's authority. We see Mordecai's association. We see Mordecai's accomplishment. Notice the Bible said in verse number 11, wherein the king granted the Jews which were in every city to gather themselves together and to stand for their life, to destroy, to slay, and to cause to perish in all the power of the people and providence that would assault them, both little ones and women, and to take a spoil of them for a prey. Amen. Thank God because of what Mordecai had done, because of what had been accomplished, thank God they were able to stand for their life tonight. Amen. That they were to destroy and to slay and to defend themselves tonight. Amen. Thank God the Lord Jesus Christ has given you and I victory over the flesh, over the devil, over sin, over the world tonight. Thank God this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith tonight. Amen. Thank God we are standing in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Amen. That old record is gone, and Jesus took care of it all tonight. Amen. God settles the score. God has the last word. And we notice that their record was exonerated. But then, secondly tonight, their redemption was established. The news of their deliverance and the news of what had happened begin to spread all throughout the provinces and begin to spread throughout all of the known world tonight. Their record was done away with, but then thank God their redemption was established. Notice what the Word of God says there in verse number 13. The copy of the writing for commandment to be given in every province was published unto all people, and that the Jews should be ready against that day to avenge themselves on their enemies. Oh, listen, for years and years, you go back to Egyptian bondage, as we mentioned before, and now they're in captivity. Now they're away from the promised land. They're away from the temple. They're away from the presence of God, and too long that they had been separated from that place. Too long had they been away from the temple. Listen, too long had the people of God been in pursuit of been pursued by their enemies. Now it was time that God was defending them and God was vindicating them, and the news of their deliverance had begun to spread all throughout the known world. You know, the world has always picked on the Jew. The world has always looked down on those people.
We go from Egyptian bondage all the way to the Holocaust there during the time and the days leading up to World War II. And even shortly thereafter, the people of God, God's covenant people, have always had a target on their back. But thank God, God was declaring them that now the target was not on their back. That now they were not to be the ones that were to be oppressed, but they would rather be on the offensive rather than on the defense. Amen. The Bible says in verse number 14, so the post that rode upon mules and camels went out, being hastened and pressed on by the king's commandment, and the decree was given at Shushan the palace. It began to spread. It started there at the palace, and it began to spread all over the world. But I want to say this, their redemption was established, and I see that there was some perception. Amen. The Bible said in verse number 16 that the Jews had light. Amen. The Jews had light and gladness and joy and honor. Thank God their perception was beginning to change because of that writing, because of that law, because of what Mordecai and Esther had done. Thank God the tables began to turn. They could finally see some relief. And what a shock to their morale this was. What an encouragement to them this was. Hey, can I tell you tonight, I understand we get discouraged. I know that we face defeat in this life probably more than what we have to. Oh, but if we'll lift our eyes to Calvary one more time, if we'll look at Mount Calvary another time, as the songwriter said, it gives us the strength that we need tonight. Amen. Or sometimes God will show up and just bless you and help you like he hadn't in a long time. Brother, your perception will begin to change. You'll begin to look at things a little bit different. Maybe I don't have to live in defeat. Maybe I don't have to fall to that again. Maybe this thing's not as bad as I'm making it out to be. Thank God God has given us victory and he's given us the upper hand because of what Christ has done. Amen. We ought to have a better outlook sometimes than what we do. I see their perception and then I see that it was published. Verse number 13, the Bible said the copy of the writing for a commandment to be given in every province was published unto all people. Hey, can I tell you tonight, we've got a story to tell, amen. And we ought to not just limit it to our Jerusalem, not just limit it to our community. Thank God we're having missions meeting coming up, and God has still given us the responsibility to publish it to a lost and a dying world. I want to tell you about something that happened to me this morning. We had a little bit of a late start to work today, because we had some personal stuff that we had to take care of. And so I took a walk in our neighborhood on our street down there in Chickamauga this morning. And I saw a van parked on the side of the road. And long story short, it was the local Kingdom Hall, the Jehovah's Witnesses. And so I saw them talking to somebody. And on my walk, you know, I was trying not to be nosy, but I just couldn't help but overhear what they were talking about. I like the Bible. I preach the Bible. If there's a Bible discussion, I mean, sometimes I just can't help but try to get in on it. And so, you know, I was walking on the sidewalk pretending to look at the birds and mind my own business and everything like that. But really, I was eavesdropping and listening to their conversation. And they were trying to convince that woman that Jesus Christ was not that was not God in the flesh. And listen, these cults, they always attack the deity of Christ. You don't have to study out what they know. You don't have to go through all the ins and outs of all their yo-yo beliefs. Just know what you believe and know what this Bible says. And I was so encouraged. There's a family that lives down the road from us, and they just so happen to be talking to the wife of that family. And they're Presbyterians. Amen. They're Calvinists tonight. Obviously different from us. Our kids play together. Sometimes ride bikes in the street together, and they'll come to the house and we'll talk to them and things of that nature. But obviously there is a difference in belief tonight. But I want you to know that that lady there, that Presbyterian woman, had them two boogers cornered up, them two Jehovah's Witnesses. And she said, and I kept hearing her say, now no, the Bible says this, and no, Paul said this. And she said, no, we're saved by grace. And I believe in the death and the burial of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We may not agree on predestination. We may not agree on election. Oh, but thank God I got to talk to her after they left. I said, yeah, they don't like it when you talk about the Bible. Amen. She said, yeah, I told them they're a cult. And we talked for a moment and told her, have a nice day, and moved on. But I was encouraged this morning. Thank God that they wasn't even an independent Baptist, but they knew this book enough to stand their ground on their porch and publish the gospel to somebody who's walking in darkness, who's living in false doctrine. And thank God she stood her ground. Hallelujah. Hey, we've got a story to tell. Peter said that we ought to be ready to give an answer of the hope that lies in us. Thank God we've got a story to tell. We don't have time for any sad reports. We don't have time to pooch our lip out and feel sorry for ourselves. There's a world that is dying and lost and does not have the truth. And we have been commanded to publish the good news of the gospel tonight. Amen. Their redemption was established. It was published. Can I ask you a question? Do people know that you're a Christian? Do they know that you're saved? There have been times in my life where I worked on a job and went far too long after I got saved, of course, that I did not bring up the gospel, that I did not bring up the Lord, even bring up church. And I'm finding as I get older that I long for those opportunities to talk to people and seek for God to open doors. Because listen, it doesn't take a whole lot of education. It doesn't take a whole lot. Just read a little bit and know that you're saved tonight, and have a good verse of scripture, and stand your ground concerning the truth, and tell somebody what Jesus has done for you tonight. Amen. We see the perception. We see that it was published. And Thomas Black wanted me to preach a little bit longer tonight, so he's getting his wish. Amen. The person in verse number 15, the Bible said in Mordecai, and I'm being serious about that. Amen. The Bible said in verse number 15, and Mordecai went out from the presence of the king in royal apparel of blue and white, with a great crown of gold, and with a garment of fine linen and purple, and the city of Shushan rejoiced and was glad. Now, I don't have a whole lot to say concerning this. I'm not going to labor this point. But their redemption was established because of their perception. Their redemption became established because it was published. It was going out to the four corners of the known world. But can I say this? That their redemption was established because of a person. Amen. We find Mordecai there. You remember earlier in the book that Haman was getting his measurements made. He was ready for the king to put that apparel on him. Amen. He thought he was going to be rid of Mordecai, but the writing was changed, and Haman swung on the gallows. And who was it tonight that the king arrayed in that fine linen and arrayed in that blue and white and that crown? Well, it was old Mordecai tonight. Amen. Hey, the Bible says tonight that God has highly exalted his son tonight. Amen. Thank God he has exalted his name. He has given him a name that is above every name. And who we are and what we are is not owed to ourselves. We didn't pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps. It's the Lord Jesus Christ that got us where we are. And blessed be the name of God. Blessed be the good name of Christ. Everything that we are, everything that we have, and everything that we ever hope to be is because of Christ tonight. Amen. We see their record was exonerated. Their redemption was established. And then their rejoicing was effective. I got to move on tonight. Amen. The Bible said in verse number 16, the Jews had life and gladness and joy and honor. And in every province and in every city, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, the Jews had joy and gladness and a feast and a good day. And many of the people of the land became Jews, for the fear of the Jews fell upon them. Amen. Their rejoicing was effective. Why? Because of their countenance. Hey, listen to me, Independent Baptist. Can I remind you that it's still all right to smile
every once in a while. Amen. I mean, I'm telling you, we're supposed to have the greatest message that the world has ever known. We're supposed to be possessors of the greatest person that this universe has ever known. He dwells on the inside. And brother, half the time we look like our mother-in-law moved in. Amen. Listen, or we've you know all the old sayings. Amen. Sucking on persimmons and being baptized in sauerkraut juice and all of that stuff. Hey, listen, the people of God, we are to rejoice. We're to have joy. And you say, well, I just don't ever feel like that. Listen, I wonder about you tonight. Amen. But listen, there are some things that still make us joyous. There are some things about this book and about the person of this book that still make me glad, even though I'm having a bad day, even though times may get difficult. Thank God Jesus still puts a smile on my face every now and again. We see their countenance, and then we see the celebration. Amen. Verse number 17, the Bible said that they had joy and gladness, a feast and a good day. Amen. There is celebration that accompanies a lot of great things in the Word of God. When the people of God would be given victory by the Lord Himself, there would be great celebration. I think about the Song of Moses there in the Old Testament. I think about that dancing of David there when the Ark of God was brought back. Amen. I think about the prodigal son as he came home and the elder brother standing on the outside, and he listens in. Are you ready for this? He hears music and dancing. Amen. Listen, there is reason to rejoice. We've got something to celebrate. Every time we come to the house of God, we ain't got to wait for Easter and hunt eggs. Thank God we serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He's living no matter what men may say. Hey, every day's Easter when you're a Christian, every day's resurrection day, and thank God it's party time. Hallelujah. Thank God, set on the spread, put the music on. We got something to rejoice about. Hey, we're saved. On our way to heaven, we were going to hell. Hey, we were down and out, but Jesus came by one day. Amen. There's reason to rejoice. Amen. Every church service, I'm not saying we got to run the aisles every time. I don't really see why we can't, but we ain't got to every time. But every church service ought to be a celebration. Amen. Amen. And then there is conversion. I'm done. Y'all can breathe. The Bible said, and many of the people of the land became Jews. They were proselytized. They were converted. Came into the covenant like Ruth and so many others, Rahab the harlot. The Bible said, for the fear of the Jews fell upon them. There was conversion tonight that took place. And listen, we ought to be concerned about this thing of seeing people converted. I understand and I know this, and I'm not an authority on anything. But I understand that we have seen a day where people have run people through prayer mills and tried to make soul-winning competitions and make it more about numbers than about people tonight. But listen, we ought to not let things that are wrong and let things that present difficulty tonight deter us from being a witness tonight. Amen. The Lord still desires that we would have a burden for sinners. You know why? Because He does tonight. Amen. We ought to love sinners because the Lord does. Amen. And I'm thankful tonight that old record was done away with. Amen. That old record, that law, was overshadowed by a new covenant tonight. I was lost and on my way to hell. But thank God, because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary, I've been born again. Amen. And there is reason to rejoice. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together as they sing a song tonight. You be mindful of the Lord, and you mind Him in the invitation tonight. Amen.